We turn again to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want us to read verse 11 and 12. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There's some verses still I want us to read. Bear with me long. Let us read verse 15. This knowest thou, that they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the household of Onesiphorus, for often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. And if you just bear a while, we go to chapter 4, the same chapter, chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Gratians of Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Again, chapter 2, verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And then the last one will be chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Thank you very much for those reading. I'll focus on verse 11 and 12, but there was something I was trying to establish when we were reading those verses, and soon I'll let you know. I've given the title, Knowing Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the most important things that we need to desire is to know Christ. The Old Testament saints, they were looking forward to his coming. They were longing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They were given glimpses, but they were preoccupied to know when the Spirit was speaking that our Savior shall come. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, Abraham saw my days, he saw me, and he longed for those days of my coming. And in the New Testament, you know well, Apostle Paul is a person who went to the third heaven, is a person who met the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. Apostle Paul did many wonders, wrote many letters, and served the Lord tearlessly. But in Philippians he mentioned one of his chief goals in life, and he said, I want to know Christ. He's not satisfied with the knowledge of Christ. He said, I want to know Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to have fellowship in suffering, and if need be, even apprehend that the resurrection of the dead. A great desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, and my brothers and sisters in Christ, there is nothing as important as knowing our Savior and not contented with the life we are having. We need to constantly continue to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we stop from that desire, we are gone. We are finished. When you no longer desire to know Christ, you are in a very dangerous situation. Our desire must be to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This book that we have looked here, Apostle Paul will say, I know whom I have believed. I know him. When Paul said these words, the verses we read, I just want to summarize them into three parts. When he said this word, he was almost alone. Most of his friends have left him. You remember verse 15, he said, he mentioned somebody called Hermogenes and Phigelius. Those that are in Asia Minor has departed from me. They have deserted me. It was a hard time for Apostle Paul. And many friends were running away. In chapter 4, verse 10, he said, Demas, who was with him in his first imprisonment, this time things were difficult, and Demas left him. But can you imagine, at this part time that Apostle Paul is almost alone, and most of his friends have left him, he can still say loudly, I know whom I believed. Today, if our friend desert us, the people we expect to stand with us, they leave us, run away. Some people no longer even want to be in the church. But Paul could stay even that. I know whom I believed. He met me on Damascus Road. He changed my life. I'm his product. I'm his fruit. I know him, even if friends run away. Even if I remain lonely, I know him. I know him. I don't guess about him. Maybe he's now an old man. He has walked with the Savior year after year, after year, year after year. And now maybe he's 70. He's getting old. And he has seen the Savior and the faithfulness of the Savior such that even when friends be running away and he's lonely, he can still say, I know whom I believed. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's King of Kings. And he's Lord of Lords. He's the one who apprehended me and changed me and made me who I am. So he said, I know whom I believe. And then even when he was saying, I know whom I believe, Paul was in a poor condition of living. You remember where he said, Onesiphorus, search for him diligently until he found him. It was not easy for people to find him. He was like a criminal. No one wanted to associate with him. Maybe he was kept in prison or a dungeon, and no one wanted to go there. And Onesiphorus, this faithful friend, searched for him, heard, and he said, he looked for me diligently, and until he found me. Finding him was difficult. He was not living a good life this time. He was treated like a criminal, in chain. And also, you see, he will later on say this, that I'm chained like a criminal. He was in chain like a criminal. But he said the word of God is not chained. So he was in prison and he was under chain. You know, when you are under chain, people don't want to associate with you. People like when things are good. But when things are bad or difficult, or you lose your job, friends start going one by one. People don't like chain. And this particular time, Apostle Paul was in chain. And remember in verse chapter 4, I didn't read that. Verse 21, he will appeal to Timothy, come diligently, come quickly, come before winter. Tell him to bring parchment and also the books. Come before winter. He is in prison. Tradition tells us that he was in a very bad place, that maybe he could reach using a ladder or a rope. And Apostle Paul is saying, come before winter. So he is in a very poor condition of living. But can you see when he's writing, he still says, I know whom I believed. I know him. I know the one I'm trusting. I know the one who called me. And the last thing, when Apostle saying, I know whom I have believed, is this time he was anticipating death. Death was inevitable. He was going to die. And you remember we read it in chapter 4, verse 6. You say, I'm being offered like a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. He was going to die this time. He'll be beheaded. I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. So Apostle Paul, he is in all circumstances we are seeing. He's anticipating death. He's in a poor condition of living. He's almost alone. But that particular time he's writing, he still tells Timothy, I know whom I believed. I know the one I'm trusting. Even let death itself come, and Nero come with his sword, I know the one I put my trust in. I know the one who I'm leaning on. I know my Savior. I'm acquainted with him. My dear friends, these are some of the things we need to ask ourselves as believers. Can we say we know him? Especially when you are lonely. Especially when you are in a poor condition of living. Especially when you are anticipating death. Sometimes we go to hospital and they announce to us, it is cancer. It is HIV. They announce to us sometimes, doctors, sad news. At that time, as Apostle Paul, can we stand up and say, I know whom I have believed? Or can we sing together with that lady who composed Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. That time that things look difficult. And here is what we are seeing Apostle doing. He said, I know whom I believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him or entrusted to him against that day. I know him. No matter what I go through in life, I know him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the promise of the Father. I'm acquainted with him. Let us look after seeing that. That he said, I know whom I have believed and persuaded. Why was Apostle Paul suffering? Can you see it there in verse 11? Why was he suffering? He was not suffering because he was an evil man or he has done anything bad. He said, Christ Jesus appointed me to be a preacher, the one that proclaim the glorious gospel. And he appointed me to be an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. These things I've mentioned to you. Being alone, being in a poor condition of living, anticipating death. He's suffering these things because the Lord Jesus Christ appointed him to be a preacher, to be an apostle, and to be a teacher of the Gentiles. He has done no evil at all. It's what Apostle Peter will tell us. If you suffer, don't suffer like an evildoer. We need to suffer for doing good, so that even those who persecute us, they have got nothing to bring against us. And here, Apostle Paul is suffering because of the glorious gospel and the call that God gave him. I don't know in UK, but in Kenya, there are people who preach, if you are a true child of God, you cannot suffer. You cannot go through difficulties. But here, Apostle Paul saying, I am suffering. He's saying, the word of God, I'm suffering. I'm going through a hard time. And so those are liars. True believers can go through hard and sometimes difficult time. But thank be to God that we are not alone. Thank be to God for his sufficient grace that we do grant unto his people during this time of difficulties. So he said, I know him. I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. That's why I'm suffering these things. How did he respond to his suffering? Can you imagine? He said, nevertheless, in verse 12, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Dear friend, the word nevertheless is in the Bible. He say, it is true I'm suffering. It is true that I'm almost alone. It is true that I'm anticipating death. But my head is not down. I'm not ashamed. In fact, those who know Greek say that word is emphatic. He's saying, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. My head is not down at all. My dear friends, sometimes when we go through these difficulties, sometimes even people don't come to church. Sometimes even people don't want to mention the name of Christ, but not Apostle Paul. He's in chain because of the glorious gospel, but he's saying, nevertheless, even that be the case, I am not ashamed. Some years back, I preached this and I asked people in the church, can you say nevertheless? When you are engaged and your engagement broke on Friday, just before your wedding, and this gentleman or this lady tell you you can't go on, or you say nothing to do with the Lord, nothing to do with God's people, nothing to do with the church. But here we are seeing Apostle Paul going through difficulties, but he's still saying, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. In other words, he's saying, nevertheless, I am still proud of the glorious gospel. I'm still rejoicing in Christ. I'm still glorying in Christ. I'm still trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of all the things I'm going through, believers and my brothers and sisters, I'm here to encourage you and encourage myself that we can say nevertheless because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was he able to say nevertheless? They give us the answer. He say, I know whom I believed. We cannot say nevertheless if we don't know Christ. He say, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I believed. I know him. He left his home in glory. Him who is the very God of the very God became man and made his dwelling among us. He lived a sinless, perfect life for me, Apostle Paul will say. And he went to that cross of Calvary and pay my debt and die my death. And there the Father resurrected him or raised him from the dead on the third day, as I say in the morning, for our justification. And he's now exalted. No, exaltation begins at the resurrection. He's exalted at the right hand of God the Father. And he's coming back again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know him? The question is, do you know him? Apostle Paul says, I know whom I have believed. Before I give you the point that he said, something that he said, let us just a glimpse of how he knew whom he believed. Can you look chapter 1? Chapter 1, the same chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ. God called me with a promise. I know him. There's a promise of eternal life. And that promise is in union with Christ. Even if you look here, you see he knew the Savior. He's called me with a promise of life. Life without end. Life that death cannot take away. Life that being deserted with a friend cannot take away. Life that even poor condition of living cannot take away. Beloved, the Lord called you. He called you effectually when he resurrected you from the dead and given you new life. And he called you with a promise of life. And that promise of life is in Christ Jesus. And nothing can take it away. He knew him. Later on in chapter, verse 9, he talk about God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And then he say, Jesus Christ who has destroyed or abolished death. He has abolished death. And has brought light and immortality to light through the gospel. Can you imagine how people live in horror or fear of death? But the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew, is the one who has abolished death. He has made death ineffective. He's taken power of death. And Christ Jesus has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. You know, many people in Western world, the belief in the life is not so much. But back home, if I say the Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to the gospel, I think in Africa we'll understand better. We live at a time when people fear death so much. There's a bird, I can call it owl. People are so afraid when they hear, they say somebody's going to die. And dear friend, what a good news when the gospel comes. And you hear Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to gospel. Superstition is gone. And you see a great light. And you live in boldness without fear. Because the gospel has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He said, I know whom I have believed. I know him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who has abolished death. I think that John Owen book is normally the title. It's on the title. Speak on what we call the limited atonement. But the title of the book by John Owen is a title that is so much encouraging. He say, the death of death is the death of Christ. This is what he's saying. The death of death in the death of Christ. I know him. Because of him is where we can say there's a death of death in the death of Christ. And one day we'll tell death, Where is your sting? A day is coming when we will tell death, you have been swallowed up in victory. He's our enemy. And the Bible tells us he's a defeated enemy. A day is coming, dear friends, when our Savior shall come. And we'll ask death, where are you? Where is your sting? Where is your victory? You have been swallowed up. Our Savior conquered death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you know him, dear friends? Are you taking him lightly? Are you striving to know him more and more? And then he says this, he is able. You see that there, verse 12. I know whom I believed and am persuaded. He's convinced beyond shadow of doubt that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. He's convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to keep that we have committed to him against that day. What is it? I know there are different understandings. But whatever this difference understanding may be there, they all lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. One is that the Lord Jesus is able to keep his life. The life that is given to him against that day, even when death comes, he will never lose his life. He shall be with the Lord forever. And a day is coming that he shall come in glory. And one day we shall have glorified bodies like that of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is able to guard his life. But also here people are backsliding and people are going down. In Asia Minor, the work he has done over the years seems to be collapsing. People are running away at this particular time of persecution. And so the Lord is able even to keep his ministry until the day of Christ Jesus. He's able to keep the ministry that he has done until that day. You know, sometimes, pastors, we are worried, especially when we are in churches where people just like new things. And you know, the danger is always when people want new things. New things. New things. And they want to live the old ways. And you say, will this church survive? But we can also say, like Apostle Paul, I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've entrusted to him. This ministry, the pastoral work, the preaching that is being done here is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is able to guard and protect until that day of Christ Jesus. But he is also able to guard our lives until that day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, are you scared? Have you gone through trials and difficulties in life which sometimes we believe are go through? Can we look to the Savior? Can we ask him to give us grace to say, nevertheless? I think then that hymn writer say, for I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. We can say, I know whom I believed. Apostle Paul say, I know him. I know him. Oh, he's my Savior. He's the one who has changed my life. Dear friends, we can look back and we can say he's truly. You know, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were dead, totally dead. There was no hope for us at all. And he resurrected us. He gave us life to live again. We know him. No matter trials we go through in this life. Oh, Jesus Christ, the Savior, our Messiah, our all in all, our hope of salvation. Say, I go to prepare a place for you, then I'll come so that where I am also, you may be there. He said, this is an eternal life, a sure eternal life, that they may know you, only the true God, and Christ Jesus whom you sent. knowing God and knowing Christ, it is eternal life. It is definite, is sure, is certain. Do you know him, my friend? Oh, this time that things are very difficult. I want to bring some few application. If we know him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way Apostle Paul knew him, what will happen? Number one, we want to see, we'll be courageous. Was able to face Nero. Was able to face the difficulty. He gives us courage. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, give us courage. His righteousness is imputed to us. We can say like that, right, of Proverbs, that the righteous are as bold as lion. It gives us courage as we walk along this path, pilgrim path. We have courage, knowing Savior each and every day and desiring to know him and acquainted with him each and every day as we walk in this life. Give us courage. Look at those people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Look at the boldness they had. They say, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he will not, we are not going to bow down and worship the image you have made, Nebuchadnezzar. They were so bold. And remember Daniel. Daniel, when they stopped people from praying, this time he went and knelt near the window and opened the window. He was so bold. Dear friends, if we know the Lord, he'll grant us boldness, not confidence in ourselves. No. We can't have confidence in ourselves. Our confidence is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also, if we know him, then we'll have a new zeal for him. We'll be people who are eager to go out, desiring to preach. Desiring to talk about, to serve the Lord, to give ourselves to the Lord. Some of us here, we are aging, you know. But even as we age, we can say like Caleb. He was so zealous, say, give me that mountain. He had a zeal, the same zeal he had when they went to spy the land. And say, the Lord is giving us this land. Later on, when he was old, he still say, give me that mountain. Dear friends, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ will give us energy or zeal to live for our glorious Lord and our Savior. Do you have energy for him? Look, Apostle Paul is just going to die. Sometimes when I read, he says, bring me even the parchment, bring me the books. He still wants to read. If somebody tells you you are to die, you can give up and say, I don't need to read anything. But he said, when you come, bring me the parchment and especially the books. He still won't even want to read. And he's anticipating death. Had energy for God. He's telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Savior, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Be willing to suffer with me. So we will have zeal for God. And how we are lacking that fire. We need to pray for the God, the Holy Spirit, to give us fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a church where people have got fire and zeal for the Lord. You know, Paul's prayer we read in the morning, that Israelites, they had zeal without knowledge. That's sad, isn't it? Sad when we have zeal without knowledge. But also it's sad when we have knowledge without zeal. One of my teachers used to tell me that a normal bird does not fly with one wing. To fly with two wings. They don't go like this. So we don't just say, oh, some people say we need zeal. And then the other people, now we need knowledge. We need both. And may the Lord help this church that will still be zealous, going for those open doors meeting, going to pick children, and still going to request parents, even those one you don't know, and pray, Lord, bring them more and more. We know him and we'll have energy and zeal for God. But also we'll be contented, you see. We'll be satisfied with the Lord. No matter what happened, the future belongs to him. And he's contented and satisfied in the Lord. No matter what is happening, no matter how friend is leaving him, no matter poor condition he is, he's anticipating death, but he's able to commit himself to God and be contented in the Lord. We live in a world where people are not contented. People are not satisfied. A lot of depression and anxiety when we are just about to lose our jobs. When we are not making enough, you are past 50 and you don't have your own house yet. And some people, where will I marry? Or where will I get married? And they are so worried of many things. Dear friends, when we have the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our satisfaction. We can be contented and give everything into his hand. And the last of it is when we understand sovereignty of God, isn't it? And we rest ourselves to the hand of God, knowing that he's sovereign. One of the texts that has really showed me sovereignty of God is the response of our Savior in Matthew chapter 11. John is asking him, are you the Messiah or we wait for another? He told John, go tell John, the blind men are seeing, the lame are walking, gospel is being preached to the poor. John seemed to be satisfied. He doesn't ask again. But when you go a little bit, three cities are in difference. He said, woe unto you, Bethsaida, if these miracles that were done, if they were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they could have repented in ashes. And then the Jewish leaders have rejected him. They say John came not eating. They say he has a demon. The Son of God came eating. They say he's a glutton. Whether you eat, whether you don't eat, they have just rejected him. What was the response of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I thank thee, God of heaven and earth, for thou hast hidden this thing. Can you thank God? Yes, the Lord Jesus, thank God. You've hidden these things to the wise and to the prudent, and you have revealed them to the babes. You thank God. And here is when we understand that God is sovereign. He's in the throne. No matter what we go through here under the sun, God is on the throne. He rules. He reigns. Man thinks that he's the one controlling everything, but he's not. God is sovereign. And dear friends, we can trust that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sovereign. Question again, are you knowing him or you are satisfied? Oh, my friend, no. May the Lord help us to keep on striving to know him more and more. He's given us this book, the Bible. We need to dig this Bible. And in every page, he talks about our Savior. And in the morning, our morning devotion. And in our prayer meetings, and in the church service, we need to grow, knowing our Savior. May the Lord bless you all. Let us come to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our God, thank you for giving us Christ. And thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is knowable. We cannot know him completely, but he's knowable. And he's willing that we may come to him and know him. Oh, please help us to strive in knowing our beloved Lord and Savior. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.